Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for August 13, 2024. MDC Board approves Costco agreement by Mella McEwen, oil editor, Midland Development Corporation. Board members made quick work of approving an economic development agreement to bring Costco to Midland. After just a few minutes of discussion, board members unanimously approved a resolution authorizing the economic development and performance agreement between MDC, City of Midland, and Costco. Under the agreement, the MDC will reimburse Costco up to $6,502,544 for infrastructure related to the store. Payment will proceed as follows: $2,167,514.67 within 30 days of Costco completing the 174,000 square foot store, investing $50 million in capital improvements, and creating 100 full-time jobs. Those capital improvements include extending Sinclair Avenue west of Loop 250 and constructing a new north-south road. Construction on the new Costco is supposed to begin no later than June 1st, 2025, and completed no later than August 31st, 2026. A second payment of $2,167,514.67 will be paid when Costco certifies it has created and maintained those 100 jobs for 1 year. The final $2,167,514.66 will be paid after Costco certifies it has created and maintained those 100 jobs for 2 years. Costco is excited to enter Midland, said Brian Whalen, managing broker with Northwest Atlantic, provides real estate advisory services for Costco. This will be a great partnership, he told board members, noting that the deal came together very quickly. Midland City Council will now take up its part of the deal, considering a series of property tax and sales tax reimbursements. Under the deal between Costco, the City of Midland, and MDC, the city will reimburse 50% of ad valorem taxes for the first 20 years and reimburse 100% of sales and use tax for the first 30 years. City Council to vote on Costco special election for soup kitchen by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. Midland City Council will tackle a number of issues during its meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday in Council Chambers at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Here's a rundown of major items on the agenda. Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland, Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland Development Corporation, and Costco was in the works to bring the popular warehouse retailer to an area between State Highway 191 and 158. Council members will vote on approving the incentive packages, which will include reimbursements from the MDC not to exceed $6.5 million for infrastructure and site-related improvements, as well as certifying that Costco hires 100 new full-time equivalent jobs. A rebate of 50% from the city of its portion of real and personal property tax for 20 years, and a 100% rebate of the total of sales and use tax receipts for 30 years. The agreement is performance-based. Costco must make a minimum capital investment of $50 million in a 174,000 square foot facility. This is at least the third attempt in 10 years to bring Costco to the Midland-Odessa area. The closest Costco currently is in Lubbock at 6020-6020 34th Street. Special election. City Council will vote on whether to hold a special election for the conveyance of a portion of Hidalgo Park to Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, which sits on the corner of Orchard Lane and Carver Street. The special election would be held on November 5th, the date of the 2024 general election. Ballpark upgrades. Council members will consider approving a $236,208 contract for the installation of wall pads at Momentum Bank Ballpark, home of the Midland Rockhounds. The total includes $11,247.56 in contingencies in case of a cost overrun. Groundwater treatment. The city recommends awarding a contract to True Clear Water Solutions for advanced groundwater treatment in the amount of $1.44 million. The funds are available in the Utilities Fund The funds are available in the Utilities Fund Unappropriated Fund Balance. TrueClear is looking to use its advanced molecular oxidation system to treat groundwater for the city. This item was tabled as a previous meeting. This item was tabled at a previous meeting. Airport improvements. Council will consider authorizing the mayor and city attorney to execute two grants from the Federal Aviation Administration. The first is $3,747,275 for the asphalt air carrier project at Midland International Air and Spaceport. And the second is $2,975,211 for the runway blast pad improvement project. Alcohol permits. Three restaurants are seeking approval of alcohol permits. Woody's Hideaway at 5701 Starboard Avenue in the Gateway Plaza. St. Blaise, 508 West Wall Street in the Frost Bank Building. La Florida, 2010 West Longview Avenue in the Midland Crossing Shopping Center. Actuary retainment. Council will consider retaining actuarial firm Foster & Foster for 1 year for a sum not to exceed $150,000. Midland supports Bryce Hopple with Watch Party. More than 1,200 people showed up to cheer on the Midland High graduate as he competed at the Paris Olympics. By BK Richter, staff writer. Midland residents showed up in full force Saturday to support Midland High graduate and 2024 Olympic competitor Bryce Hopple. Hopple competed in the finals of the men's 800-meter run during the Paris Olympics. The City of Midland and the Midland Rockhounds sponsored a watch party at Momentum Bank Ballpark for the world-class athlete. According to Rockhounds General Manager Shelley Hengy, more than 1,200 attendees showed up for the event. Hengy said guests began lining up outside the doors of the ballpark an hour before the event started. There were people lined up at 10 a.m. and they were wrapped around the building, she said during a phone interview. People wanted to come together as a community. Team USA fans were either seated or standing inside the Diamond Club or watched the stadium's video screen from the stands. One thing was apparent from the display of fans and supporters attending the watch party. They all loved Hopple and were there to cheer him on. People were filled with emotion while visiting and sharing heartfelt thoughts and affection for Bryce with such pride, Hengy said. It was apparent that he has genuinely touched people's hearts as they follow his accomplishments on his journey, joining him each step of the way. Guests on various renditions of the colors red, white, and blue for Team USA, while others waved miniature American flags that were passed out to supporters during the event. Additionally, children and adults lined up to receive temporary tattoos of the American flag, while others signed a public banner sharing words of encouragement for the world athlete. Hengy stressed the amount of emotion and connection that attendees felt during the watch party. I loved how everyone in the ballpark on Saturday felt connected to Bryce and to one another through him, she said. It was Bryce who energized the community to gather for this event as he represented Midland in the Olympics. Hopple did come up one place short of a medal. However, fans still applauded and shouted encouragement. Hopple shattered an American world record Saturday, finishing with a time of 1 minute and 41.67 seconds. Kenya's Emmanuel Wanyonyi was awarded the gold medal with a time of 1:41.19. Canada's Marco Arap placed second with a time of 1:41.20, and Algeria's Jamel Sajadi finished third in 1:41.50. The Rockhounds were honored to partner with the City of Midland in hosting the watch party. It was a moving experience, bringing so many people together from throughout our community to celebrate Bryce. He is an inspiration to all, and it brought great joy to be here cheering Bryce on from his hometown as he competed on the world stage, Hengy said. City Council to vote on Costco special election for soup kitchen by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. Midland City Council will tackle a number of issues during its meeting at 10 a.m. Tuesday in council chambers at City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Here's a rundown of major items on the agenda. Costco deal on Friday it was announced that a deal between the city, Midland, Costco deal on Friday. It was announced that a deal between the city, Midland Development Corporation, and Costco was in the works to bring the popular warehouse retailer to an area between State Highway 191 and 158. Council members will vote on approving the incentive packages, which will include reimbursements from the MDC not to exceed $6.5 million for infrastructure and site-related improvements, as well as certifying that Costco hires 100 new full-time equivalent jobs. A rebate of 50% from the city of its portion of real and personal property tax for 20 years, and a 100% rebate of the total of sales and use tax receipts for 30 years. The agreement is performance-based. Costco must make a minimum capital investment of $50 million in a 174,000-square-foot facility. This is at least the third attempt in 10 years to bring Costco to the Midland-Odessa area. The closest Costco currently is in Lubbock at 6020 34th Street. Special election. City Council will vote on whether to hold a special election for the conveyance of a portion of Hidalgo Park to Midland Soup Kitchen Ministry, which sits on the corner of Orchard Lane and Carver Street. The special election would be held on November 5th, the date of the 2024 general election. Ballpark upgrades. Council members will consider approving a $236,208 contract for the installation of wall pads at Momentum Bank Ballpark, home of the Midland Rockhounds. The total includes $11,247.56 in contingencies in case of a cost overrun. Groundwater treatment. The city recommends awarding a contract to True Clear Water Solutions for advanced groundwater treatment in the amount of $1.44 million. The funds are available in the Utilities Fund unappropriated fund balance. True Clear is looking to use its advanced molecular oxidation system to treat groundwater for the city. This item was tabled at a previous meeting. Airport improvements. Council will consider authorizing the mayor and city attorney to execute two grants from the Federal Aviation Administration. The first is $3,747,275 for the asphalt air carrier project at Midland International Air and Spaceport. And the second is $2,975,211 for the runway blast pad improvement project. Alcohol permits. Three restaurants are seeking approval of alcohol permits. Woody's Hideaway at 5701 Starboard Avenue in the Gateway Plaza. St. Blaise, 508 West Wall Street in the Frost Bank Building. La Florida, 2010 West Longview Avenue in the Midland Crossing Shopping Center. Actuary retainment. Council will consider retaining actuarial firm Foster & Foster for 1 year for a sum not to exceed $150,000. MDC commits $1 million to widen Avalon Drive to three lanes, by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Midland Development Corporation is partnering with the City of Midland to improve Avalon Drive between Briarwood Avenue and Mockingbird Lane. MDC will pay the city a total of $1 million for work to widen Avalon from two to three lanes in three equal payments over 3 years. MDC will pay $333,333,033. $333,333.34 upon execution of a contract with a third party for construction of the project, and an additional $333,333.33 will be paid each year over the next 2 years upon completion of the work. Assistant City Manager Jose Ortiz told the Reporter Telegram last week that rights of way are being acquired and construction is expected to begin next year. He stressed that the area has grown dramatically and improvements are needed because of that growth. Growth has been happening faster than the city can keep up with, he said. City officials are working to plan projects to address the needs caused by that growth and stay ahead of the curve, he added. Part of that effort is to work with developers on future projects to ensure sufficient infrastructure is in place, he said. The YMCA is building a northwest location at Avalon and Mockingbird that has drawn concern from neighboring residents about the increase in traffic on roads they say are already congested and unsafe. Christine Bearden, chief executive officer at the YMCA, told the Reporter Telegram last week YMCA has taken out two letters of credit. One will fund extending the sewer line from Bynum School to the new location. The second is to fund infrastructure along the fence line on Avalon that will include a three-lane collector road, bike lane, sidewalk, curb, and gutter. The building itself was also turned to the south away from neighboring residences, and there will be no vehicular traffic from the location onto Mockingbird. Specific lighting will also be installed to reduce light pollution. MDC commits $1 million to widen Avalon Drive to three lanes by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Midland Development Corporation is partnering with the City of Midland to improve Avalon Drive between Briarwood Avenue and Mockingbird Lane. MDC will pay the city a total of $1 million for work to widen Avalon from two to three lanes in three equal payments over 3 years. MDC will pay $333,333.34 upon execution of a contract with a third party for construction of the project and an additional $333,333.33 will be paid each year over the next 2 years upon completion of the work. Assistant City Manager Jose Ortiz told the Reporter Telegram last week that rights of way are being acquired and construction is expected to begin next year. He stressed that the area has grown dramatically and improvements are needed because of that growth. Growth has been happening faster than the city can keep up with, he said. City officials are working to plan projects to address the needs caused by that growth and stay ahead of the curve, he added. Part of that effort is to work with developers on future projects to ensure sufficient infrastructure is in place, he said. The YMCA is building a northwest location at Avalon and Mockingbird that has drawn concern from neighboring residents about the increase in traffic on roads they say are already congested and unsafe. Christine Bearden, chief executive officer at the YMCA, told the Reporter Telegram last week YMCA has taken out two letters of credit. One will fund extending the sewer line from Bynum School to the new location. The second is to fund infrastructure along the fence line on Avalon that will include a three-lane collector road, bike lane, sidewalk, curb, and gutter. The building itself was also turned to the south away from neighboring residences, and there will be no vehicular traffic from the location onto Mockingbird. Specific lighting will also be installed to reduce light pollution. Officials: avoid area of East County Road 173 and South County Road 1110. Midland Reporter Telegram. Two semi-trucks hauling tanker trailers were involved in a collision at East County Road 173 and South County Road 1110, and officials are asking the public to avoid the area. At about noon Sunday, a vehicle wreck sent two people to the hospital, according to a news release from City of Midland. Two tanker trailers, both of which were empty, fell onto their sides, blocking the roadway. It was unclear from the release if the semi-trucks and trailers were the only vehicles involved in the incident. Images shared by the city show one semi-truck had suffered severe front-end damage near a heavily damaged utility pole. Ahead of this semi-truck was another with both truck and trailer on its side. The Department of Public Safety is working to clear the vehicles from the scene, the release said. No further information was available Sunday afternoon. Site of 2017 Texas church shooting torn down, by Eric Gay, Associated Press. Sutherland Springs on Monday, crews tore down a Texas church where a gunman killed more than two dozen worshipers in 2017, using heavy machinery to raze the small building, even after some families sought to preserve the scene of the deadliest church shooting in U.S. history. A judge cleared the way last month for the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs to tear down the sanctuary where the attack took place, which until now had been kept as a memorial. Church members voted in 2021 to tear it down, but some families in the community of less than 1,000 people filed a lawsuit hoping for a new vote on the building's fate. Authorities put the number of dead in the November 5, 2017 shooting at 26 people, including a pregnant woman and her unborn baby. After the shooting, the interior of the sanctuary was painted white, and chairs with the names of those who were killed were placed there. A new church was completed for the congregation about a year and a half after the shooting. John Riley, an 86-year-old member of the church, watched with sadness and disappointment as the long arm of a yellow excavator swung a heavy claw into the building over and over. "The devil got his way," Riley said. "I would not be the man I am without that church." He said he would pray for God to punish the ones who put the demolition in motion. "That was God's house, not their house," Riley said. For many in the community, the sanctuary was a place of solace. Terry Smith, president of the Sutherland Springs Community Association, visited often over the years, calling it a place where you feel the comfort of everybody that was lost here. Among those killed in the shooting were a woman who was like a daughter to Smith, Joanne Ward, and Ward's two daughters, ages 7 and 5. Smith watched Monday as the memorial sanctuary was torn down. "I am sad, angry, hurt," she said. In early July, a Texas judge granted a temporary restraining order sought by some families, but another judge later denied a request to extend that order, setting in motion the demolition. In court findings, attorneys for the church called the structure a constant and very painful reminder. Attorneys for the church argued that it was within its rights to demolish the memorial, while the attorney for the families who filed the lawsuit said they were just hoping to get a new vote. "It's a very somber day for us," said Amber Holder, a church member who was a plaintiff in the lawsuit. She said she wasn't at the service on the day of the shooting, but arrived soon after. As a teen, she was taken in by the family of the pastor, whose 14-year-old daughter, Annabelle Pomeroy, was among those killed. Holder said the church had become a piece of history, that the scars on the building that from that day, including bullet holes, were a powerful reminder of what happened. The man who opened fire in the church, Devin Patrick Kelly, died on a self-inflicted gunshot wound after he was chased by bystanders and crashed his car. Investigators have said the shooting appeared to stem from a domestic dispute involving Kelly and his mother-in-law, who sometimes attended services at the church but was not present on the day of the shooting. Harmony Public Schools rolls out student meal plan. Free reduced-price breakfast and lunch will be available to eligible students. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Harmony Public Schools will offer free and reduced-price meals to eligible students for the upcoming school year. Harmony Public Schools is a charter school system with more than 60 campuses throughout Texas. The West Texas District is tuition-free and open enrollment. Its curriculum, the West Texas District is tuition-free and has open enrollment. Its curriculum places an emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math STEM courses. Providing free and reduced meal prices is crucial for our students' well-being and academic success, said Daniela Marquez, Harmony District Director of Marketing and Communications. "We were committed to working with local agencies to provide that for students to be successful and have a higher standard in their education." On August 1st, Harmony began distributing letters to households of students in the district to explain eligibility benefits for free and reduced meal program. To explain eligibility benefits for the free and reduced meal program and any actions a family may need to take to apply, they also released their criteria for eligibility for free and reduced price breakfast and lunch. They also released their criteria for eligibility for free and reduced price breakfast and lunch. The following criteria is used to determine eligibility. Income. If a household income is at or below the income eligibility levels. Categorical or automatic eligibility. A household receives Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, or Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations, or FDPIR. Program participant. A child's status as a foster child, homeless, runaway, migrant, or displaced by a declared disaster, or a child's enrollment in Head Start or Even Start. If a household qualifies for the free and reduced meal program due to income, an adult must fill out an application to the program and submit it to the Child Nutrition Department at childnutrition.westtexas@harmonytx.org. The application inquires the names of household members, the income for each member, Social Security information, and the signature of the adult applicant. Harmony also partnered with local agencies to determine which students qualify for the program under the categorical or automatic eligibility. Families who qualify will be notified of eligibility and do not need to apply. Marquez, the Harmony District Director of Marketing and Communications, said Harmony will help those who need help with the application or formal appeals. They can reach out to the Child Nutrition Program, Marquez said. Our Child Nutrition Coordinator will be the one that provides information and help them get the needed guidance to apply. Marquez added that families can reach out with any questions they may have. I think it's really important to know that Harmony Public Schools is dedicated to ensure that every child has access to nutritious meals regardless of academic status, Marquez said. This meal program is designed to support the families in need, and we want to encourage everyone to check if they're eligible and apply for the benefits. Applications for the free and reduced meal program will be reviewed year-round. Families can also submit a formal written or oral appeal for the hearing on the eligibility decision to the Chief Operating Officer at 9321 West Sam Houston Parkway, South, Houston, Texas, 77099. Harmony Public Schools encourages families to contact the school if a household member becomes unemployed or if the household size increases, because these changes may make a child qualify for the free and reduced meal program. We want to make sure that everybody, all the students, have a good meal every day, Marquez said. Midland ISD and IDEA Public Schools also offer free and reduced lunches. They recently announced that they would implement the Community Eligibility Provision, or CEP, under the National School Lunch and breakfast programs for the upcoming school year. Police search for stabbing suspects. Midland Reporter-Telegram. Midland police are searching for two suspects allegedly involved in a stabbing that took place early Sunday morning in South Midland. According to a report from MPD, officers responded to a stabbing at approximately 3:16 a.m. Sunday at the Executive Inn at 1000 South Midkiff Road. The caller, also the victim, stated he had been stabbed in his neck and the actors had left the scene. MPD reported officers arrived on the scene and conducted first aid. EMS arrived on the scene and transported the victim to Midland Memorial Hospital. Midland police officers were able to gather suspect and vehicle information while on the scene. After the victim was stabilized at MMH, he provided a statement. Late Sunday, patrol officers located a black Ford pickup truck. Patrol officers were able to secure and a search warrant for the vehicle, MPD reported. Patrol officers towed the vehicle to a secure location and processed the vehicle with the assistance of Midland Police Department's CSI. The investigation into the incident continues.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, August 13th. Alamo starts first day as part of New Tech Network. Ector County ISD welcomed roughly 33,500 students back to school Monday, with cheerleaders, football players, band members, and a visit from Superintendent Scott Murray. Murray visited a number of campuses, but media joined him at Gale Pond Alamo Elementary. Easy ISD does a phased-in opening with pre-kindergarten through 5th, 6th graders, and 9th graders. The remaining grades return August 13th. Principal Alicia Sessions said they had 344 students in pre-K through 5th grade. The school is also transitioning to the New Tech Network and will be using project-based learning. The campus was STEM-focused before, but will be blending that in with the New Tech approach. Monday, students were getting accustomed to their environment and teachers. They're greeted at the door. We've seen today the Permian and Odessa High School cheerleaders and band and football players greeting and welcoming students, especially at the elementary level. They get to know their teachers, their administrators, They learn routines, kind of how school works, or how their classroom environment works. So a lot of that early learning takes place today, so that on day two, they can jump right into some academic subjects. So a whole lot of relationship building on day one, Miri said. We open today the elementary version of our new tech network school at Gale Pond Alamo, he said. Alamo has been a STEM magnet school focusing on science, technology, engineering, and math. It will be a direct feeder pattern to the new tech middle school, and then ultimately new tech high school. Project-based learning is their theme. It is learning through doing projects. They'll combine their English, math, science, and social studies courses into learning opportunities, and they'll use projects as they learn about social studies and the arts and sciences, etc. A really powerful way for kids to learn. We're excited to bring it to the elementary. We'll be one of the very few kindergarten through 12th grade feeder patterns for new tech in the state of Texas, Miri said. He added that Alamo will continue its heavy STEM focus, but the students will be learning through projects. Teachers will take the different learning domains, if you will, mathematics, science, English, social studies, and the arts, and then combine those into different projects. The kids will spend several weeks working on projects that will help them learn those very specific domains rather than learning subjects in isolation. This helps students realize that the world in which we live is actually interconnected, and we'll get to do that starting here at this school, Miri said. He added that there are quite a few high schools across the country that are part of the New Tech Network, including George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa. There are very few elementaries and middle schools that are part of the network. Once the new Career and Technical Education Center opens, the career and technical education courses that are currently in the new tech building will be moved, and that will free up classrooms in the NTO Middle School, Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said. Miri added that Alamo is a choice school. Our families choose to come here, and we'll see a bit of that taking place. We're excited about that. Our parents are excited about it. When we did some surveying a couple of years ago on choices and options in Ector County, this is one of those opportunities that parents wanted us to expand, and so we're excited to be able to bring that down to the elementary level, he said. Miri said he never gets over the excitement of the first day of school. To him, every one of them is special. Then to watch kids come in and meet their teacher for the very first time, see the shiny floors and all the bows that the little girls wear on that first day, and just all of the energy. You can't get enough of this. I love the first day of school and all that it entails. This one will certainly have a lot of significance for me, and my joy is watching the faces of these kids as they walk in for the first time for the school year. I think I'm always, no matter where I am or what I do, I'll have to figure out a way to be part of the first day of school and experience the energy, Miri added. Miri said Monday was about celebrating the journey that the students are taking. It's the next step. As an adult, I remember my first days, and I can connect those experiences with what's happening in life today. I know that these kids, whether it's here at Alamo, at the New Tech Network, or wherever they happen to be in ECISD, their experiences today will forever impact them tomorrow, he added. In a third grade classroom, Miri asked one of the girls for her favorite part of school, and she said it was the teacher. He asked if it was last year's teacher, and she said it was this year's teacher. Well, she's known her for 2 hours, but already that is her favorite thing about school. So this human being that is leading her classroom, I hope that all of our kids today will be able to talk about their experiences today in school, being very positive and healthy, and they're excited to come back tomorrow, Miri said. He added that they have reduced some teaching positions, but not people due to budget cuts. We didn't lose any human bodies, but we cut the number of teachers that we needed to hire and that we would employ this year. We made some efficiency decisions on several campuses, and so we'll certainly feel the impact. In fact, some of our kids may notice a little bit less elbow room this year because of our state budget cuts. One of our opportunities this year will be to remind our state legislature and our elected officials about the importance of investing in public education. There is no greater investment that we can make than in the future of our nation, and that future is in our classrooms today. So we will continue to work with our state officials to ensure that we have the dollars that we need to do the important work that must be done in classrooms, not only throughout Ector County, but all throughout the state of Texas, Mary said. Sessions said Alamo had a phenomenal start to their first day. First days are very exciting for both teachers and administrators. The halls have been empty all summer, and so to fill them back up with kids is exciting and endearing because this is the work that we do every single day. Without kids here, it makes it not as fun, Sessions said. So we move into project-based learning. It's just the campus growing. That's kind of the goal of implementing PBL through New Tech Network, in just the growth of the campus and ultimately feeding into a middle school that will feed into NTO. We've been in training throughout the summer, learning the NTN curriculum, and we'll be implementing that in preschool through pre-K through second in the weeks ahead. It's some groundwork up front. We have to get them familiar with some vocabulary and the collaborative part of working together. But once we feel like we've got that solid, then we'll start, Sessions said. The campus will implement project-based learning in grades pre-kindergarten through second this year. Starting in the spring, the teachers in grade 3 through 5 will begin the foundational work, and they will attend training in Oakland, California in the summer. Will be fully implemented for the 2025-26 school year, Sessions said. MPO looking for input. The Permian Basin Metropolitan Planning Organization is looking for public input to shape transportation in the Odessa and Midland area through 2050. Work is underway on a plan that will identify and prioritize projects for roads, intersections, bikeways, sidewalks, transit service, and more. Visit www.forward50mtp.com to learn more. Crown Rock acquisition boosts Oxy. Second quarter's performance was highest production in 4 years. The Occidental Petroleum Corporation's $12 billion acquisition of the Midland-based Crown Rock Corporation was a major factor in Oxy's second quarter performance, which featured its highest production in 4 years for the total company and its American onshore operations. We further strengthened our portfolio through the addition of Crown Rock's assets in the Midland Basin, said President CEO Vicki A. Holub from Houston. We are also pleased to announce that our strategic divestiture program is progressing and we have a clear line of sight to meeting the debt reduction targets we set out when we announced the Crown Rock deal last December. We closed the acquisition on August 1st and we continue to be impressed with Crown Rock's efficient operations and employee talent. As we have discussed previously, this acquisition complements and enhances our premier Permian Basin portfolio with the addition of high-margin production and low break-even undeveloped inventory. Holub said Oxy generated $1.3 billion in free cash flow before working capital during the quarter. This was driven by exceptional execution across our business segments, with a notably strong Permian new well performance and higher production uptime along with outperformance in the Gulf of Mexico, she said. This year to date, we've seen approximately 10% improvement in our unconventional well costs compared to the first half of last year, putting us ahead of our planned and well cost savings. These savings have been achieved through lower non-productive time, increased frac utilization, operational efficiency gains, and facilities optimization as part of our focused program to lower wells costs, decrease time to market, and increase free cash flow. Hollab said Occidental's optimization initiatives for the second half of the year include its enhanced oil recovery business in the Permian Basin, where engineers are finding ways to utilize carbon dioxide more efficiently in its reservoirs. We are also optimizing our artificial lift, which has led to reduced failure rates and associated downhole maintenance costs, she said. In the Delaware Basin, we've decreased water disposal costs by doubling the volume of water recycled relative to the first half of last year. Water stewardship remains a key priority, and I'm pleased to highlight a recent milestone in which we recycled a cumulative 50 million barrels in our Midland South Curtis Ranch treatment facility. In addition, we have now recycled over 150 million barrels in our New Mexico operation since 2019. Looking to the second half of 2024, Hollab said construction is progressing on Stratus, Oxy's first direct air capture facility west of Odessa, and its low carbon ventures team continues to demonstrate that the demand for carbon dioxide removal credits is growing. In July, we announced an agreement with Microsoft for the sale of 500,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide removal credits over 6 years from Stratos, she said. The agreement is the largest single purchase of direct air recapture CDR credits to date, and it highlights the increasing recognition of carbon engineering technology as a solution to help organizations achieve their net zero goals. Senior Vice President Chief Financial Officer Sunil Mathew reported that Oxy issued $5 billion of senior unsecured notes in late July to fund the cash consideration of the Crown Rock acquisition. Overall, we are highly pleased with the investor demand for the bond offering, Matthew said. Our efforts to strengthen our balance sheet remain a top priority, and we are achieving early success in debt reduction. In July, we retired $400 million of debt at maturity, and our strong organic free cash flow is enabling further deleveraging progress in the coming weeks. By the end of August, between additional Oxy maturities and early redemption of Crown Rock's notes, we will have repaid an additional $1.9 billion of debt, bringing the total to $2.3 billion. Matthew said the company generated over $1.3 billion of free cash flow before working capital, driven by sustained success across its diversified business segments. More specifically, the second quarter was marked by strong production performance in the Permian Basin and the Gulf of Mexico, driving high oil volumes, he said. In the midstream segment, substantial value capture was realized, particularly in gas marketing, evident through the greater than $180 million adjusted pre-tax income outperformance that compared to the midpoint of guidance. Including Crown Rock, Matthew said the midpoint of Occidental's total company production and guidance has increased from 1.25 million to approximately 1.32 million barrels of oil equivalent per day. While the legacy Oxy capital will decrease in the second half as a result of tapered domestic activity, maintaining Crown Rock's 5-rig program will reshape the investment profile as we increase the full-year total company net capital range to $6.8 billion to $7 billion, he said. Council set to discuss ODC. Odessa's wastewater plant, on-call contracts, and changes to the Odessa Development Corporation Board are among the top items on Tuesday's City Council meeting agenda. During its last meeting, the Council voted 6-1 to remove ODC President Chris Crow after he was accused of prohibiting an attorney hired by the ODC from talking to Mayor Javier Hoven and city staff about using ODC money to address the city's failing infrastructure. This week, the council is expected to discuss Crow's replacement, although the agenda states it can remove other board members or make leadership changes too. The council is also scheduled to go into executive session to discuss a meeting that took place August 2nd with ODC's legal counsel and city staff. In other matters, Utilities Director Kevin Niles will ask the council to award a contract to design and implement improvement measures at the Bob Darrington Wastewater Treatment Plant to Performance Services. Johnson Controls also submitted a bid. The agenda doesn't state what either bid amounted to. In addition, Niles would like the council to pay just under $3 million to Truen LLC to replace 1,400 linear feet of safety fencing and 1,240 linear feet of rails at the Darrington plant, make pipe and pump improvements to buy and install grit system mixers, and replace 3,000 square feet of sidewalks, stairs, and two overhead cranes. The company would also remove all water and grit inside the grit removal system. According to Niles, the money for the fixes would come from American Rescue Plan Act money and the Darrington plant account. The council will also discuss awarding a $1 million contract to Hydromax USA to evaluate and replace water distribution valves throughout the city. According to materials provided to the council, the city had budgeted $526,000 for such things. According to records obtained by the Odessa American through the Texas Public Information Act, from January 1st through June 30th, 92 water lines broke in the city of Odessa, resulting in the loss of 6.1 million gallons of water. Crews were unable to isolate many of the breaks due to faulty valves. Because the valves are replaced, the city will begin to replace water lines. Last month, the council agreed to set aside $25 million for the valve and waterline replacement project. In other water-related matters, Niles is also asking for permission to purchase aerator replacement parts for the Darrington plant for a little over $90,000. Only $500 had been budgeted for the parts. Niles would also like to purchase valve and actuators for the water treatment plant at a cost of just under $182,000. Roughly $203,000 had been budgeted for the items. According to materials provided to the council, the current effluent valves are showing signs of failure. It is imperative that these valves function efficiently to prevent contamination of water from backwashing of filters, Niles wrote. As for the actuators, Niles wrote they've been in place since the plant was built and parts are getting hard to come by because they're no longer being made. He wants to buy clamshell-shaped actuators to replace the plant's cylinder-shaped actuators. Also on Tuesday, Assistant City Manager Christina Burns will ask the council to approve multiple contracts for companies that will be called on as needed basis for engineering and design services, land surveying services, and architectural services. Burns has said having an on-call list would save the city time and money by reducing the need for additional meetings, preparing new RFQs, and issuing additional legal notices. 12 companies responded to a request for qualifications for engineering and design services. The cost of each service would not exceed $250,000, and each firm would be capped at $500,000 annually. Each service provided would have to be approved in advance by the council. The companies are Carallo, Dunaway, InProtect, Hibbs, and Todd, Fries and Nichols, Kimley Horn, Landgraf, Crutcher and Associates, Macram Consulting, Maverick Engineering, Newton Engineering, Park Hill, SKG Engineering, and WA Civil. 8 firms submitted RFQs for landscaping surveying services. The cost for each service would not exceed $100,000, and there would be a $250,000 annual cap. Again, the council would have to approve each service before it could begin. The companies are Dunaway, InProtect, Hibbs and Todd, Half, Landgraf, Crutcher and Associates, LJA Surveying, Maverick Engineering, Park Hill and SKG Engineering. 3 firms submitted qualifications for architectural services: Brandstetter, Carroll, Park Hill, and Swartz Hansen Architects. Again, the cost for each service would not exceed $100,000, and there would be a $250,000 annual cap. Again, the council would have to approve each service before it could begin. In other matters, the council will be asked to pass a resolution establishing a maximum tax rate of $0.466275 for fiscal year 2024-25. The rate is lower than last year, but will bring in more revenue, with some of that new revenue tied to new properties in the city. We'll be asked to approve a $75,000 settlement to Emmanuel Calvillo, who was injured in a car wreck involving Felipe Rodart, a city driver. We'll be asked to grant Playgrounds, etc., a $349,000 contract to resurface Sherwood Park, according to materials provided to the council by Parks and Recreation Director Max Reyes. The surface would be poured in place, which is cooler than artificial turf, more durable and resistant to vandalism. During the city's work session, which begins at 3 p.m., the council will discuss a new process for regulating bars and restaurants that serve alcohol and discuss food truck ordinance regulations. The new bar and restaurant ordinance would, in part, reduce renewal fees by 50% if the applicant installs security cameras or hires patrol officers or qualified security officers. It will also discuss approaching the ODC about road projects on Yukon and Mission Drive. MPD seeks 2 suspects involved in stabbing. Midland police are searching for 2 suspects allegedly involved in a stabbing that took place early Sunday morning in South Midland. MPD reported that at 3:16 a.m. August 11th, officers responded to a stabbing at the Executive End, 1000 South Midkiff Road. The caller, also the victim, stated he had been stabbed in his neck and the actors had left the scene, MPD reported. Officers arrived on scene and conducted first aid. EMS arrived on scene and transported the victim to Midland Memorial Hospital. MPD reported that officers were able to gather suspect and vehicle information while on scene. After the victim was stabilized at MMH, he provided a statement. Later Sunday, patrol officers located the black Ford pickup truck. Patrol officers were able to secure a search warrant for the vehicle, MPD reported. Patrol officers towed the vehicle to a secure location and processed the vehicle with the assistance of Midland Police Department's CSI. The investigation is ongoing. TxDOT announces Scarborough Drive culvert reconstruction in Midland. The Texas Department of Transportation will reconstruct the existing bridge class culverts and adjacent roadways and intersections of Scarborough Drive in Midland County. The contractor is scheduled to begin work August 19th. The project is anticipated to be completed summer 2025. Roadway closures will be in place on Main Street at Scarborough Draw and Scarborough Drive from La Mesa Street to Carver Street. The federal funding made this project feasible. The project is a joint effort between the City of Midland and TxDOT. Harmony Public Schools to offer free and reduced-price meals to eligible students. Harmony Public Schools announced its policy today for providing free and reduced-price meals for children served under the attached current income eligibility guidelines. Each school site or the central office has a copy of the policy, which anyone can review on request. Starting on August 1, 2024, Harmony Public Schools began distributing letters to the households of children in the district about eligibility benefits and any actions households need to take to apply for these benefits. Applications are also available at schoolcafe.com. Criteria for free and reduced meal benefits. The following criteria will be used to determine a child's eligibility for free or reduced price meal benefits. Income. Household income that is at or below the income eligibility levels. Categorical automatic eligibility levels. Categorical or automatic eligibility. Households receiving the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, or Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations, FDPIR, Program Participant. Child status as a foster child, homeless, runaway, migrant, or displaced by a declared disaster. Child's enrollment in Head Start or Even Start. Income eligibility. For those households that qualify for free or reduced price meals based on income, an adult must fill out a free and reduced price meal application and return it to the Child Nutrition Department at childnutrition.westtexas@harmonytx.org. Those individuals filling out the application will need to provide the following information: names of all household members, amount, frequency, and source of current income for each household member, the last four digits of the Social Security number of the adult household member who signs the application, or, if the adult does not have a Social Security number, check the box for no Social Security number. The signature of an adult household member attests that the information provided is correct. Categorical or program eligibility. Harmony Public Schools is working with local agencies to identify all categorically and program eligible children. Harmony Public Schools will notify the household of these children that they do not need to complete an application. Any household that does not receive a letter and feels it should have, contact the Child Nutrition Department at childnutrition.westtexas@harmonytx.org. Any household that wishes to decline benefits should contact the Child Nutrition Department at childnutrition.westtexas@harmonytx.org. Applications may be submitted anytime during the school year. The information households provide on the application will be used to determine eligibility. School officials may also verify applications at any time during the school year. Determining eligibility. Under the provisions of the free and reduced meal price meal policy, the school nutrition child nutrition assistant will review applications and determine eligibility. Households or guardians dissatisfied with the reviewing official's eligibility determination may wish to discuss the decision with the reviewing official on an informal basis. Households wishing to make a formal appeal for a hearing on the decision may make a request either orally or in writing to the Chief of Operations Officer, 9321 West Sam Houston Parkway South, Houston, Texas 77099, or by email at childnutrition@harmonytx.org. Unexpected circumstances. If a household member becomes unemployed or the household size increases, the household should contact the school. Such changes may make the children of the household eligible for benefits if the household's income falls at or below the attached current income eligibility guidelines. Harmony Public Schools West Texas is a tuition-free open enrollment public charter school that provides high-quality education with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math STEM for students in grades pre-K through 12. Harmony Public Schools is currently accepting applications for students and team members for the 2024-25 school year.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.